Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, on Monday in El Segundo, Frank Vogel explained himself regarding his rotation choices and why guys like Avery Bradley are in the lineup. Pretty revealing. And Trevor Ariza spoke to the media. Does that mean Trevor Ariza is getting close to return? All that and more coming up on Locked On Lakers next.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I want to thank everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day. I just moved my table. I'm going to bring that back. Really appreciate it. 5 days a week, we got this thing up for you bright and early. No matter where you are, you can find it whenever you need it. The Locked On Lakers podcast also Locked On Lakers on YouTube as well. I want to let you know that this episode of Locked On Lakers brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions you don't want or need, and can even negotiate better deals on those you want to keep. We want to get to a really interesting comment that was left on the Locked On Lakers YouTube page regarding Anthony Davis and sort of his level of dominance and how he dominates. We will make sure we do that. We always appreciate when you guys leave comments there and on Twitter at Cam Brothers. But Andy, let's start with the news on Monday in El Segundo. Frank Vogel spoke to the media before the team left to go to Sacramento for Tuesday's game, and reiterated a couple things that have been themes on this show that I know you have pointed out. The first one being that they're not playing hard enough, consistently enough. And that, as it turns out, is tied to why Avery Bradley is on the floor as much as he is.
Yeah, you directly asked Vogel after Monday's practice about the advanced stats, which are really unkind to Avery Bradley, particularly as part of the ever-controversial starting five with the big three, Avery Bradley and DeAndre Jordan. And what I thought was interesting was, A, Frank Vogel acknowledging, yeah, we are aware of those numbers just like everybody else. We know, quite frankly, they suck. But that being said, there's a lot of different things that Avery Bradley brings to the table in Frank Vogel's eyes. And I think chief among them is Avery Bradley is somebody that very much is in tune with Frank Vogel's philosophy of wanting to be a defensive presence, paying attention, or at least being engaged in those defensive details, you know, bringing that type of effort and intensity and hustle. Like, no matter how Avery Bradley is playing in this season, for the most part, I don't think he's played particularly well.
No,
you can never accuse Avery Bradley of not playing hard. That is something that guy always does. And for a team that, as you said earlier, is not necessarily consistent when it comes to just all out hustle over 48 minutes, especially for a team that has struggled to maintain a 500 record, there is something to that attitude and, you know, that mindset that Frank Vogel, if nothing else, sees as infectious. He described it that way.
The quote was, you know, so I basically said, you know, look, you know, we know the advanced numbers, which can, you know, particularly on defense, have room for interpretation,
sure,
all that stuff. But with that in mind, the numbers are terrible. Can you explain what you're seeing, what you and the staff are seeing? Quote, effort and intensity are infectious. He plays extremely hard. I know the numbers you're talking about, we take them with a grain of salt. When a guy is bringing that type of effort and intensity, it's just an intangible thing that energizes the group and sets the tone for our defense. So there's a lot of positives with what he brings to the table. Your response was, I believe on Twitter, not that infectious.
Well, it isn't. I mean, I think there's some wish casting going on from Vogel. Again, yeah. I get what he's going for, and whether or not it's working, there is a logic to it, and there is a rationale that would explain what he either thinks he's getting or thinks he could get if he keeps
I think what he wants is, like, it is not at all a coincidence. The answer to that question, which by the way, is the answer that both of us suspected that it would be.
Damn near verbatim what I said on Monday's show.
Right. Because that smart.
Well, and also I didn't think that he would give my comparison to that scene in Heat with Pacino catching his wife.
Because it was too long. just go back and find it on Twitter if you haven't seen Andy explaining Avery Bradley's presence on the floor via the classic film Heat, which really is a great movie. And it was a good comparison. But it's not an accident that he spent 3 minutes of this press conference talking about how the team's effort level isn't good enough. And look, I think sometimes effort can become an avatar for, like, we're not playing well enough. We just need to play harder. Like, we're not as good as we think we are. We're going to solve this by playing harder. But be that as it may, regardless of the reason that the Lakers need to play harder, they need to play harder. Like he said, we are not consistently outplaying, out-hustling our opponents. And, you know, go back to the championship season 2 years ago. Not only was that team good, they worked their asses off. Their tushies off, I should say. Again, we're supposed to forget the new directive.
No, we were told that was okay.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. But so, you know, like they
got to pick your spots and all, but I think that was all right.
I'm going to use tush.
No,
more often.
Hell no. Kidding,
not using tush.
No, you're not. No.
Nor it's a more adorable cousin, tushy.
No, absolutely not.
So, you know, like he is very, like you almost were left with the impression that if everybody played harder, Avery Bradley wouldn't have to play. Like it's the rest of the team's fault that Avery is playing. I'm not saying that that's how it would go.
No, but I can promise you that's not. I think if anything, Frank Vogel would give too much credit to Avery Bradley
for everybody
and decide that Bradley can't leave the rotation. I mean, some of this is just he wants to play Avery Bradley.
Yes.
Like he actually wants Bradley
likes whatever,
out
but
there.
It's just it is a he's also in this sense to me just a sort of it's a symbol of where they are. And what they're grasping at and how elemental a lot of this stuff is. We're not talking about like, you know, next level building blocks of the offense. Like he runs our secondary stuff with like, we're still at the Lakers are 22 games in and we're still at play harder, try to get 30 assists a game. You know, win the third quarter, like basic goals that you would set for your high school team. Like,
but
that's where they are.
The bigger conversation than this, than just specifically Avery Bradley's role on this team, is really it reflects just how, and I think subtly but increasingly openly dissatisfied Frank Vogel is with this roster. And I don't mean just the way they're playing. I mean literally the dudes who are on
the construction
and how different they are, how little they mirror what Frank Vogel values as a worldview in basketball. And I think that is Avery Bradley is somebody who he can count on, if not to always execute the things that Frank Vogel wants, to care about the things Frank Vogel wants. And given all the other compromises that, if nothing else in Frank Vogel's mind, I think he feels he's made with this season, with this roster, and going against certain philosophies, like I said in Monday's show, there's an element of, damn it, I am not compromising. Avery Bradley is going to keep playing because I need something. I need something. And it's going to be Avery Bradley.
You know, there is something to that. And, you know, the predictability of it, the idea that at the very least, even if he doesn't always like the result, he knows what he's going to get. With Bradley on the floor. But there's something else here before we get to this comment with regarding AD that I also think is important that gets to, I think, the other half of what you're talking about when you consider the way the roster is put together and the challenge that Vogel has in front of him. As I said on Monday, I don't defend this reason for playing Avery Bradley or really any of them because I wasn't convinced he was that good when they were winning a title 2 years ago. As much as I respect the human being that is Avery, but this
is good dude.
There's none of this is personal. Avery Bradley, we talk a lot about of DeAndre as sort of an avatar for other things people are complaining about. Bradley kind of represents that as well, and I'll explain why next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's because it's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is
unless
the
it's
new
our greedy corporation, by the way. Right. We don't charge you for this, but
no, absolutely not. You know
Locked
why?
On's because free, man.
Yeah, we're not gross, man. Truebill, new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need or want or just forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. That is a nice chunk of change you could do something a lot better with. Companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, but Truebill makes it simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel unwanted subscriptions in one tap. Truebill has saved over 2 million users over $100 million. That is great, great service for you. So don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA.
So we'll get to Avery here in a second. Davis here in a second. Also talk about Trevor Ariza, who met the media on Monday, which is a good sign.
Seems like the first time in eons.
It's the first time he's spoken to the media since training camp. It is. Yeah. As far as I can tell, it is. So, I mean, that's a long time. It's December almost. So we have not seen Trevor much at all. So we'll get to all that in a second here. To finish off this Bradley thing and why I think he, to Vogel, symbolizes a lot of other stuff about the way the roster is put together. Darius Soriano, our friend at Forum Blue and Gold, and of course writing for Silver Screen and Roll and the podcast and all that stuff, noted on Twitter, we had a little back and forth as well in this, that the Lakers with Bradley on the floor, with Russ, Bron, and AD, but without DeAndre, have a +12.1 net rating. And you can go through and Harrison Fagan at Silver Screen and Roll kind of breaks some of this stuff down. There are situations in which Avery Bradley is fine, or not, at the very least, not a negative. He is catastrophic playing next to DeAndre Jordan. I mean, it's, you know, often just terrible. But even then, not the worst lineup they had. And I think part of the problem here is they have a bunch of guys on the team who are in one way or another kind of like Avery Bradley, who are okay if they're used in exactly the right specific way that maximizes the way that this role player can be used. The problem is they have too many of those guys. And for every Avery Bradley to maximize the way to play Avery or Kent Bazemore or Malik Monk or Wayne Ellington might be not a good way to play Carmelo Anthony or Malik Monk or Wayne Ellington, like, and mixing and matching this jigsaw puzzle, especially in a season where half the pieces have been missing, like from the box, is an enormous challenge. There is nothing that is the same from night to night based on matchups, based on lineups, based on all these other things. And, you know, this to me is where I have sympathy for Vogel broadly, because it's almost impossible to find consistency and guys who can do more than one thing at once or match up in multiple ways against multiple teams, at least be neutral, because they don't have much of that on the roster. And I think that's the other half to me of the frustration that he clearly has with this roster. It's like the pieces don't match.
I think
as a coach, it's extraordinarily frustrating.
I'm sure it is. And again, we are seeing some.
Doesn't excuse playing Avery more than he should. That's not my point. But, you know, nobody's perfect.
I think it will start becoming easier for Frank Vogel to come up with these solutions, assuming they do exist, if he can start getting regular play from LeBron, AD, and Westbrook game after game after game. Because all of these role players, even acknowledging the fact that with the exception of THT, if he develops into the guy that they hope they are, or I guess maybe Ariza, who we're going to talk about in a very limited but important role, these are all guys who are going to be one side of the floor players and, you know, basically all the same side of the floor. And I would like to think that the front office recognized this when they signed him, even if they thought perhaps more pie in the sky than they should have, that they could have fixed, you know, that that redundancy or the weaknesses on the other side. I think some of this is just common to role players, period, unless you're mm-hmm. talking about really exceptional role players, which the Lakers don't have any of them, unless, again, THT really takes that step in development, or I guess Kendrick Nunn plays this season and
that
takes it up.
Not looking like a thing that is going to happen anytime soon, by
no,
the way.
But I don't think this is necessarily all that unique to role players, period. I think this is often the way they are. They are there to supplement their stars, and the stars have not been there on a regular basis. So we'll see how it shakes out if we actually get some consistency there. I also want to say really quickly, just because I don't want this to seem like it's just the crap on Avery Bradley hour around here.
No, there is, like I said, Avery Bradley is a symbol in a lot of ways to, you know, at least to me, to bigger problems with the roster.
Sure. But there is one thing that legitimately in looking through some of his stats that I landed on that I hadn't necessarily realized at the time, but could explain at least some utility that Bradley specifically brings. This team sends opponents to the free throw line way too often. Avery Bradley is one of the best guys on this team at avoiding shooting fouls. So that could be something that specifically he looks at and says, all right, even if his defense is not incredible, it's not compounding the problem by being bad and sending guys to the line.
You know, is he, as we pointed out with DeAndre Jordan yesterday, is he not sending people to the line because he's not close enough to foul them when they're shooting?
In the case of Avery Bradley, again, say what you will about him, that guy is not taking possessions off defense.
Fundamentally, to your point that you were making, this team is not 11-11 heading into Tuesday's game because of Avery Bradley. They're not 11-11 because of DeAndre Jordan. They're 11-11 because, you know, LeBron has missed 10 games 11. And 11.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, even more. I thought it was 10. And, you know, the big three as a combination just hasn't quite worked yet. And, you know, that they're going to win and lose based on that. And, you know, Darius actually had a really kind of a fun, again, you know, chop up numbers however you want. Each member of the big three has a positive net rating when the other two are sitting. So apparently the solution to this problem is never let the three of them play together. Fundamentally, that is where they're going to win and lose. And the role guys can make that better. They can make it worse. But if the big three doesn't work as a combination, then this thing isn't going to work. Getting Trevor back, though, Trevor Reese again meeting with the media on Monday, which is a good sign. Generally speaking, teams do not put players who have been hurt in front of the media unless they're getting relatively close to a return. You know, Frank talked a lot about the importance of Ariza and, you know, what he means for them in terms of being able to play more small lineups and all this kind of stuff. And saw this on Twitter from @DodgerDan, Dan Dodger D. This narrative Frank Vogel has tried to push is probably his most egregious lack of self-awareness. Like, we're supposed to believe a 36-year-old on his last legs is a difference maker in overall defensive performance for the team. I can understand, Andy, why somebody would look at that suspiciously, but Vogel's not wrong. There's a difference between that's a very risky strategy with a guy in Trevor's place and Vogel being wrong about Trevor Ariza's importance to what they want to do defensively.
Well, it doesn't sound to me like Frank Vogel's looking for Trevor Ariza to be a prime defensive stopper. I mean, he hasn't talked him up that way, and I can't imagine that Vogel thinks he's actually capable of doing that. I mean, Trevor hasn't been that guy in several years, but I agree with Frank Vogel 100% that Trevor Ariza's eventual return is significant. Especially if you're somebody like both of us, and certainly a lot of fans that we hear from either on this show or on Twitter @CanBrothers, looking for the Lakers to go small more often with Anthony Davis at center or LeBron at center or even Melo in a pinch at center. Like, looking to avoid as many true centers, either DeAndre or Dwight or both, as possible. In order to be able to do that regularly, you need more size. You need more guys who are like Trevor. And Trevor has that ability to just give you more length, give you beyond the defensive experience he has. And, you know, he's a really smart player and somebody that I do think actually is He's already on the upper end of defense on this team. Take that as you will. But upper end is upper end, and any bit of incremental help that you get is useful. But he's just going to allow you, even if he only plays 15, 17 minutes a night, those 15, 17 minutes can be really important and unlock a lot of possibilities. So yeah, Trevor's return matters.
Right. And again, there's a difference between it maybe shouldn't matter as much as it does, but it does. Because right now, the only other option they have in that sort of size range is Carmelo Anthony, who is doing the best he can. This is not a criticism of Melo, but he's playing way too many minutes. I mean, way too many minutes. I think it's starting to catch up with him. And you can only, the bar of achievement for Melo at 37 defensively only goes so high off the ground. Like, all you can really ask of Melo is do the best you can. And he is, he's trying. Trevor's better. And so if you need that kind of thing, he's not as good a shooter, but if Trevor is credible out there, you can keep, he's credible enough as an offensive shoot from the corner guy. So don't blame Frank. Don't shoot the messenger here in this particular case. Let's talk about Anthony Davis, because we've got a great comment on the Locked On Lakers YouTube channel about AD and where he fits in the big three that is worth getting into. So we'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Bet Online. Back better than ever with a new web interface for the basketball season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. So head to the new updated desktop or mobile website. Sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on the first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the games start.
So Anthony Davis, over his last 10 games, Andy, over the team's last 10, he's played 9 of them. He's averaging almost 25 points, almost 9 rebounds, over 3 assists, 2.3 blocks, 1.6 steals. He's shooting 55% from the floor, and his three-point percentage, which doesn't sound good at 28%, is actually much better than it has been over the course of the season. So even from three-point range, he's starting to pick it up a little bit. But that said, it hasn't always looked the right way. So we got this comment on Monday's show on the Locked On Lakers YouTube channel from TK, who we appreciate him, like everybody, listening, watching, and leaving comments on that page, because we love to use them here, and we love to reply to them. We try to be as active on that page as possible. We'll reply to your comments, questions, if we can. So he says, I hear them talking about talking about everything and everyone except AD. A lot of this falls on AD. Supposedly a top 5 talent, supposedly a top 10 player, but he never takes over a game down the stretch, settling for weak jumpers of which he usually misses. If AD played to his potential, you could add 4 or 5 more wins to their current record, and all would be fine. It's on AD. Bottom line, he's not who we thought he was. Yeah, and yeah, he gets numbers, but he's spoon-fed baskets.
Tell us how you really feel, okay? But
some of this, I think, comes from the frustration of the game on against Detroit. That was a very frustrating win on Sunday. AD finished with 24 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals. Shot 67% from the field. Objectively speaking, the numbers are good, but 13 of the points came early. And he wasn't a big presence in the fourth quarter. He's a funny one, AD, because the numbers can always look good, but I get what TK is saying about, like, what impact are you making on the game? What are you, the guy, in the way that LeBron was in that OT, was it the Sacramento or Indiana were the one where Indiana. LeBron just took over, like where LeBron just took over in that OT, whatever it was, where you just feel AD. Cause in those moments when you do, it's like, holy bleep, that's a thing. And it's not always there, even when the numbers are good. I get what he's saying, what TK is saying here.
Well, I got two reactions to that. First of all, just as an overarching thought, Anthony Davis needs to be better. And that's not to say that he hasn't been good, because I do think he's been good, and he's often been very good. He needs to be better because the Lakers need him to be better, and there is only so much better that you can ask for from LeBron at this stage of his career, and even Russell Westbrook at this stage of his career. Anthony Davis is the only one of the three of them in his prime. He is the only one of them that theoretically has another level that you can realistically get to. And he's also, quite frankly, the one of the three who has the most to prove as an individual player. All three are extremely well accomplished, obviously. You know, Anthony Davis just made it into the top 75 on the, you know, on that list that, whether you agree with him being in there or not, speaks to the guy has done an awful lot.
Right. Certainly by the time he retires, he would belong in that list.
Well, either way, you don't make that, whether he should be there or not, you don't make that list if you're not doing something well. Right. So, and this season, Anthony Davis has played well, but he needs to be even better because the Lakers need to get better and he needs to discover another level to his play on both sides of the ball. Because of the three, LeBron, AD, and Russ, Anthony Davis, I think, is the most equipped to paper over the Lakers' specific weaknesses, particularly defensively. But yeah, he just needs to be better because he needs to be better.
It's funny. Like, you know, LeBron, after Monday's game, or Sunday's game, I should say, said, you know, and we were chatting back and forth about these sorts of things, thinking about show topics and whatever, you know, he loves this sort of trope, but like, this is the biggest challenge of his career, like figuring this out and whether he's being, you know, it's got to be up there. Like, this is not going the way it's supposed to go. And, you know, part of why the Lakers, at least in theory, made the Westbrook deal was to make LeBron's life easier. It has gotten harder. Another thing that will make LeBron's life easier is AD ascending. Now, look, if defensively, both of those guys have to do even more because the team has so many more holes now than they did before. That is not good design. That is not good roster construction. But it also may be where they are.
Yeah.
And
well, there's no maybe. It is where,
it is where they are. Yes, thank you. You're right. hold on. I need another 25 games just to really be sure.
That's not to say they can't get better, but it is clearly where they are.
Oh, it is where they are, and it is the only way they're going. I have, as that election guy would say on Twitter, I've seen enough. The Lakers are just not going to be able to be nearly as good as they were last year, and to make up the gap, AD and LeBron are going to have to elevate, which again is counterproductive to what they're trying to do offensively. But anyway, you're right. I mean, it's like, whether it's fair or unfair, like, they need Davis to not be Damian Lillard level good. They need him to be, you know, closer to Giannis, closer to, you know, peak LeBron, closer to what LeBron was last year before the injury, where he was talked about as an MVP favorite. You know, I'm not saying the style has to look at the same as Nikola Jokic or something, because that's not realistic or fair, but the impact on a night-to-night basis needs to look like that.
Okay, to TK's point also about the lack of impact, or just that Anthony Davis doesn't put the stamp on the game the way LeBron or Giannis or Jokic or some of these other guys that we were talking about do, like these guys who either have been MVPs or are perennially in that conversation. This season, Anthony Davis is averaging 18.5 shots per game right now, heading into tonight's game against Sacramento. In the fourth quarter, he is only averaging 3.6 shots per game. LeBron leads the team with 6.2, then Russ 4.2, AD at 3.6, Malik Monk at 3. So he is not even taking one more shot per game in the fourth than Malik Monk, despite the fact that Anthony Davis has the best field goal percentage of the big three in the fourth quarter by a pretty decent chunk.
Yep.
You look at, though, the first quarter, Anthony Davis is averaging 6.6 field goal attempts per game, leads the team. Granted, a little bit of this is skewed because of the big three. He plays the most minutes in the first quarter,
sure,
consistently. But a third of his shot attempts come in the first quarter. And taking this a step further, in the third quarter, he and AD and Russ basically take the same amount. He may average the most at 5.1, but the gap is 5.1 to 4.7.
So it's essentially a wash, yeah.
Right. And that's with Anthony Davis on average playing about two more minutes per game than either LeBron or Russ. So if it feels like Anthony Davis is having often his biggest impacts at the beginning of the game, it's arguably because it is. And that's not saying that he only affects the first quarter and doesn't do anything from there, or that he hasn't had big fourth quarters before. And certainly he does things defensively that don't show up.
Huge block against Detroit on Sunday.
Again, I'm not saying that he disappears after the first quarter, but in terms of some of the things that pop on the score, on the score sheet, but also some of the things that you look for specifically from a superstar, he is doing a lot of damage early on in the game. And it kind of wanes from there.
Yeah, those are great numbers to put out there, and they sort of just illustrate the issue. And it is a fascinating place, and we can quit here and see how they go out on Tuesday.
Good numbers.
Yes, well done. Well looked up.
Thank you.
It is a fascinating place for the Lakers to be, where the ultimate result of the Russell Westbrook deal is that LeBron James and Anthony Davis have to be better. And I say this at a time when Westbrook is really turned it around. Like, we talked about it on Monday, and hopefully we'll continue talking about it. Like, Westbrook is starting to look like Russell Westbrook, like the good version of that, which is great to see. But ultimately, are we talking about a situation where after all of that work and moving the heavens and earth and making this gigantic swing, the ultimate result is that Anthony Davis has to actually get that much better? It's a fascinating place to be.
It is, except in some, I mean,
maybe it should be more predictable,
I was going to say it is, except it's not, because he's in his prime as a star and he's supposed to get better.
Sure. I'm not saying he's supposed to get better, but like that this won't work. Like this championship combination ultimately, like, I think most people say,
we'll see if everybody gets better a lot, and if they just play together more, a lot of this may start to, at least to some degree, work itself out. But again, these are expectations that should be there for Anthony Davis anyway. Like, you'd want him to get better because, some point he's supposed to be
all I mean by that is it's kind of from you added a third superstar. That kind of takes the pressure off of all of them. Like, interesting byproduct. All right. So again, thank you everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day. Make another Locked On podcast your second listen, but definitely a second listen after making us your first listen, because first listen, that's really important. It could be Locked On Bets. It could be Locked On Kings to get ready for tonight's game. So that and Locked On Lakers on YouTube. We're past 4,000 subscribers. We'd love to get to 5,000.
Thank you.
As fast as we possibly can. So thank everybody for that. We'll be back after Tuesday night's game for Wednesday's show, and we'll see how that one goes. Two in a row, Andy. What do you think? That's a thumbs up. Yeah. All right. We'll see everybody tomorrow.